Our lesson comes from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and I'll begin at the very first verse. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And he said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of my estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them, and not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." Now, did you ever think about the struggle right there? Okay. A good Jewish boy goes out into another land to find out, you know, to see what he can see, right? And he ends up destitute and gets hired. And what does he have to do? He has to feed pigs. Something he's not even allowed, he's not even supposed to be near. "And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he, the son, became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found.'" May God bless this reading of His holy word. Could we put up the picture here that's there of a, it looks like a statue? Thank you. In the early days of Christianity, the image of Jesus carrying the lost sinner home as a lamb upon his back was more common than the crucifix. And I think we can understand why. This image is one of hope, one of redemption, one of rescue. It shows that we have value to the Lord without needing to understand complicated things like substitutional atonement. All we see is the love and care that a shepherd has for his sheep. The parable reminds us that we have a protector, a provider, a loving Savior that willingly, as we read in John's Gospel, lays down his life for the sheep. We find hope in the all-out pursuit of the woman who has lost the coins of her wedding veil. We find hope in the father who waits longingly for his son, wondering if he will ever return home. And we should. For these stories are about the hope and love that is awaiting the lost sinner upon being found, upon returning to the Lord. They are about the joy expressed in all of heaven at the return of just one who is lost. These three parables in the 15th chapter of Luke are three stories that can teach us a lot about Scripture in general as well. When we are the one who is lost, we find great hope in these stories. When we are the one who is found, we find great hope in these stories. But God's Word never stops there. It continues to work on us. No matter where we are in our walk with Jesus, there's always a lesson. If that was the only lesson that was here, then we'd just read it and feel good about it because, okay, we're found. And except now we start to wrestle because now we're like, okay, well, I'm found. Maybe I'm the good son and not the prodigal son. And so maybe God's trying to tell me something else. What I'm trying to say is that as we mature in our faith, as we walk in our faith, and as it grows in us, the very same stories can bring us different meanings throughout our life. This parable, these parables, hope as one who is lost, challenge and calling as one who is growing in Christ, we find scriptures that give us at the same time comfort in our trials and strength in our battles and challenge when we're going astray. Kind of depends on where you're at the day you read it. And so these parables are no different. And just as they offer hope to the lost, they have another purpose. And it's mentioned in those first few verses. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Jesus has been chastising those in the prior verses before chapter 15. He's been chastising those that refuse to come to him because they're not willing to give up their power, not willing to give up their possessions or their pride or their way. And now these same folks, see, you know, they got to change the subject, right? Because we just got called out by Jesus in in what Jesus says in Luke 14. And so now, well, what's the easiest way to fight back? We just call you a jerk, right? You know, listen to politics. That's all that happens, right? They just talk about each other's junk, right? So they were doing this back then too. So they try and call out what they think is Jesus' junk. He's hanging out with sinners. He's hanging out with the wrong kind of people. So they criticize him for hanging out with these. And Jesus says, you know what? You're right. I hang out with sinners because that is why I came, to save sinners and redeem them. You, on the other hand, don't seem to care about them one bit. And that's supposed to be your job. And so that, brothers and sisters, is another message for those of us that have been found. These parables are also about the lack of love that those within the fold have for those outside the family of God. For those outside, the parable is a breath of hope and love. Jesus longs to find us, to lead us to his redeeming love, to lead us home. For the 99, for the older brother, it is a call to repentance of sin for the lack of care and love we have for those who are not yet found. Repentance for the judgment that looks only at another's sin and never at our own. Repentance for the sin of caring more about our purity, our rights, our pride, our possessions, our power, our way, than finding those who don't know Jesus and sharing the love of Christ. Listen to verse 7 here. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, do you think Jesus is saying those 99 are so righteous that they don't need any repentance? I don't think so. I think he's being sarcastic to a bunch of people that just accused him of hanging out with sinners. It doesn't mean that those 99 don't need to repent. It's a sarcastic way of saying they think they don't need saving and they need it more than the lost sinner I just brought home. That's why there's no rejoicing. Do you really think that if there was 99 that were so pure that they didn't need to repent, that there would be no rejoicing in heaven? There's no rejoicing because the 99 think they don't need to repent. And they need it as much as anyone else. You see, the leaders of the day knew this. They knew the words of Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah 53, verse 6. All of us like sheep have gone. This isn't New Testament, folks. This is Old Testament prophecy. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. These religious leaders who Jesus is talking to, they know this stuff. See, it was easy for the leaders to accept Jesus' teaching when it came to publicans and sinners. Not so easy for them to see themselves in these stories. In these parables, Jesus is saying that the leaders should have the same love for the lost sinner that God does. So he contrasts their love as compared to his. Jesus' love, demonstrated by these, says that he leaves the safety of the sheepfold. He risks himself to go on the search. He carries the lost sheep on his shoulders, caring for them himself. He goes on this all-out search. He drops everything till they're found. We've got the story of the Father longing for the son's return and rejoicing over the lost being returned. But on the other hand, the people that Jesus is talking to, they don't want to associate with those who need the love of Christ. They're not worried about Jesus, but they aren't even worried about people knowing the love of God, the love of God the Father. There's no joy, there's no repentance, there's no concern. Disdain for that which is lost, along with a love of position and a love of money that's exhibited by the jealousy of the older brother toward the other brother coming home. But lest we think that these are lessons that only they should learn, what does Peter say? For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And Paul in Romans says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there isn't 99 that are sitting there pure. There's 99 that think they're pure. You see, it's as easy for us today to accept Jesus' teaching when it comes to those who maybe don't go to church. Maybe not so easy when it might mean us. It seems to me that the best way to read these parables is to remember the love that Jesus showed toward us when we were lost. It is the kind of love that can heal any heart. It is the kind of love that draws the lost to hope, to healing, to fullness of life, to the joy of being in the arms of the Savior. And then to pour out that love that has been shown to us. See, Jesus says that all who come to Him become wellsprings of living water. We don't hold that in. We don't take that love of Jesus and just hold on to it for ourselves. If it is a wellspring of living water, then it flows out of us. That life is meant to be shared. And that's what Jesus is talking about to the people who are criticizing Him here. Remember, He doesn't tell these parables because a bunch of people came up to Him and said, oh Lord, we're lost and we don't know what to do. And Jesus tells the stories to say, well, don't worry, I'm going to come and save you. No, He tells these parables to people who are criticizing Him for reaching out to those who long to come to Him. What does it say in the beginning? Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near Him to listen to Him. Have we ever thought about that idea? That Jesus just seems to attract people like crazy. People that want to know God, that want to know about God. And sometimes religious types actually have the opposite effect on people. Sometimes we're not so attractive. But people are coming to Jesus. They're coming near Him to listen to Him. To hear His hope. To know His love. To know His healing. To know His mercy. So we cannot sit idly by while there are people in this world who don't know Him. You see, if we are supposed to grow into the image of Christ, then we must do what He says He does in these parables. We must go and find that lost sheep. We must rejoice at the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter who comes home and join in the rejoicing in heaven that happens over one lost sinner who is found. Because in all of heaven there is rejoicing. So let me leave you with these questions to ponder this week. Who is God calling you to show His love to this week? Who is God calling you to show this love to today? Not tomorrow. Today. The other way we so often think about God's love is through Jesus dying on a cross. In John, it says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's what's different about Jesus as the good shepherd over any other shepherd. That he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat of it in my name." Will the ushers please come forward? As we prepare for our time of communion this morning, the deacons are happy to serve you a gluten-free option if you need that. If you need that, just let them know and they'll point you toward that option. As we partake of our bread this morning, I would invite you to hold on to that so we can partake of that together. Symbolic of our community in Christ. And when we get to the drinking of that juice from the grape, that symbol of his blood, you are invited to partake of that as you are ready to symbolize our individual need for his saving grace in each one of us. Brothers and sisters, the table has been prepared.
Jesus paid.